Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is our live once a week prophecy reality edition. So if you're listening, come on over to firstamendmentradio.com chat room and join us. We got a little screen. The studio cam is on. And we are live. Today I really don't have an agenda or a topic, or maybe I always have the same agenda. So let me read about it from the scripture. My scripture verses are already in the chat room, so I'm just going to read it from there. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. So that was a powerfully packed few verses there with a lot of meaning. And so I've devoted the rest of my life to sowing in God's kingdom and reaping in God's kingdom. I'll reap where others have sowed, and perhaps others will reap where I have sowed, but I am laboring in God's kingdom, and hopefully that's what you've devoted your life to. I mean, as God's called out chosen ones, that's what we devote our life to, and we invest our labor in God's kingdom any way we can because of the reward, because all of the promises of God are yes and amen, and we forget not all of his benefits. Okay, the phone number, if you want to call in, like I said, I'm not going on any, I don't have an agenda or an outline of what I'm going to speak about today. I did want to take some time, perhaps a second hour, and kind of focus on the mark of the beast, thinking about some things that are the mark of the beast. So just kind of think about that. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Maybe we'll talk about some news items. And let me say hi to everyone in the chat room. Fireman Mike, Naughty Pines, Blessed, Amon, WW Wacky and House are in the house, or at least in the chat room house there. So thank you for showing up, and everyone else that is just listening live or to the rebroadcast, I want to thank you for showing up and giving me a listen, taking the time out of your day. As you know, that I believe in the historicist interpretation of prophecy. That's why I call this weekly broadcast Prophecy Reality, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. And the testimony of Jesus is what it's all about. We can go back to the Reformation, which we are celebrating now, the 501th year of the Protestant Reformation. We just closed down year 500 on October 31st. And Martin Luther, a monk who discovered Christ. That's right, he discovered Christ. He discovered salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, by his blood alone, and not by the works of man or the sacraments of the papacy or any of the, what do they call that? Not works, but that they do penance, but not by penance, or not by whipping yourself with a whip or crawling on your knees up the Pilate staircase in Rome until your knees are bloody. None of that makes you righteous. It just makes you pitiful, really. But those are all, well, speaking of marks of the beast, that's what they are. If you have a rosary and you pray the Hail Mary, that's a mark of the beast. And we could go on from there. So many things are the mark of the beast. If you're getting married by the law of man to, say, one man marries another man by the law of man, well, he has the mark of the beast, because the beast changes the law of God. Says what's wrong is right. Cause good evil and evil good. So there you have it. That is a mark of the beast. So we have many, many marks of the beast. And then there's that specific mark of the beast of Revelation chapter 13, where everyone's going to need to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell it. So it's going to be tied with the satanic monetary system that the whole world is under now. That's right. Many people are already in. They already have the mark of the beast, and they will gladly march in and sell their soul for money, because most of them already have. Like Jesus, when he was tempted, he was taken to a high pinnacle, and he was shown all the kingdoms of the earth. And no, that doesn't mean that the earth is flat. You know, let's not even go there yet, okay? He was shown all the kingdoms of the world, and Satan said, well, you know, all these kingdoms are mine, Jesus, and I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. Well, of course, we know that he refused Satan's offer. You know, I mean, what was the offer? Just think what you could do by the government, all of the social justice, and you could feed the poor and redistribute wealth, you know. But to see, that's all Antichrist tactics, because, you know, the Antichrist is the author of communism, socialism. Of course, we know who the true author is the dragon that gives him his power. So there are many marks of the beast out there. Anyway, Martin Luther discovered salvation in Christ alone, and then he discovered Antichrist, when Antichrist began to attack him for preaching the gospel. So first and foremost, the fields are white, ready to harvest, and we need to sow to God's kingdom by sowing and reaping. We gather fruit unto life eternal. That's right. That's the promise. That's the prize that we have our eyes fixed on. That's the prize that Martin Luther had his eyes fixed on. And here we are, year 501 of the Protestant Reformation. And the protest is not over. Well, the voice may be feeble. It may be few. But it is definitely not over, regardless of what the Antichrist says. Yes, the Antichrist actually celebrated the Protestant Reformation with the Lutheran Church, if you can imagine that. There was one gal that stood up in the church there and made a scene. That was a little over a year ago, when at the beginning of the first year, when the Pope was there, and I guess the Pope was there and revealed him as the Antichrist in the midst of that celebration together. So the protest is not over, and it should not be over. One mark of the beast, if we want to go for another mark of the beast, is that if you believe in the rapture and an end-time Antichrist, vindicating the papacy as the seat of the Antichrist, well, that is a mark of the beast. Sorry to say it, but that's the truth. That's the conclusion I'm coming to. There are plenty of Mark of the Beast out there. Studio, audio stream is 5x5. That's very good. I don't even know what that means. Everything's good. Well, thanks for the sound check there, WW. He says it's very good. He says it's 5x5. I have no idea what that means, but very good. I do understand. Yeah, there's no book today. We're not doing any book reading. We finished up, as you all know. And so it's published on my website there, the entire series, History Unveiling Prophecy. And we also publish this, went to worldwide publishing on, so you can find this on Amazon and everything. Just look for this cover and you will have our publication of Time as an Interpreter. And hey, we already have a caller, so it's we're totally open today to talk about whatever you would like to talk about. Your name and where you're calling from, you are on the air.
And that 5x5, I believe that's a military term. I think WW was in the Navy.
Ah.
5x5 means, it's like a radio check. It means, you know, the sound is all good.
Oh, okay, good. I missed your name and where you were calling from there.
Fireman Mike.
Okay, Fireman Mike.
The first thing I wanted to tell you was the other day I caught your show where you commented on the guy with the rocket. That what, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Anyway, I got a big laugh out of that. I had a question for you about the some mortals living to the millennium.
Okay.
Okay, so if the dead are the dead in Christ are resurrected.
Right. And we who are alive and remain are changed, and then we are caught up together with them to meet Christ. Go ahead. Well, no, they gather together for the Battle of Armageddon, so everybody on the earth isn't going to be at that battle.
Okay, so in other words, some of these mortals may perhaps change their minds.
Well, some may change their minds, some may repent. You know, our God is a God of repentance, man. He wants to give everyone every opportunity to repent. I mean, they, you know, that's who He is. And so many people are going to repent then. But, you know, they're going to have missed the resurrection and the first resurrection, so they have a chance at, you know, another shot after the 1,000-year reign of Christ.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. It seems pretty plain to me. But there will be mortals living and dying, as we covered in those three shows.
Right, talking. All three of those.
Yeah. All right, man.
Okay, keep up the good work.
Appreciate the call, Fireman Mike. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so you could call in just like Fireman Mike did, and we can, you know, steer the conversation anywhere you like. But yeah, if you miss those three shows, I call them Alien Invasion Part 1, 2, and 3 with different subtitles on them so that to give you a little idea of what the main topic for each one was. But we talk about the millennial reign of Christ. There will be mortals. And we talk about the rule of the immortals. That will be us, because we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So, I mean, you definitely want to be there for that. You don't want to miss that, because the alternative is not going to be very pleasant. You're going to be in the grave until the second resurrection, when you will be judged and you will receive your reward for the things that you've done in this life. And so the first work you want to do is repentance. And God calls all men everywhere to repent and be baptized. So you want to make sure that you get that down first thing, to make that first thing in your life, the most important thing. Is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the first step in that is repentance. And then it's a life of continual repentance. The most important thing is the gospel. The other things will sort themselves out. And then you have the Holy Spirit, who bears witness with your spirit that the things that, you know, that I'm saying that are in line with God's word, that they are true. Okay? And But the most important things come first, and that is to have your eyes on the prize, be walking in God's kingdom every day, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, or living that lifestyle of repentance. Okay, Wacky says, I'm struggling with the literal 1,000 years. Doesn't Jesus come back in judgment at the second coming? That's time up for all mortals. Well, not really. Okay, he does come back in judgment. He's going to judge the whore. He's going to judge the beast governments of man. And they're all going to be done away with. So there is a temporal judgment. And there always has been temporal judgments. So he does come back in judgment. But it is not the second resurrection or the final judgment that comes after the 1,000 years. So there's a timeline in Revelation, okay? And yes, the 1,000 years, the 7,000 years, I believe, are literal. We're coming up on the end of the 6,000-year period in the beginning of a seventh millennium from the creation of mankind. And I have, Wacky, I don't know if you're familiar with my the posting on my website at crosstheborder.org. It's called, What Year Is It? You'll see it in the left-hand column there. It's usually trending. I've got the top 10 trending articles in the left-hand column of my website there. And usually, What Year Is It will be in that trending spot. If not, you can just put What Year Is It into the search box in the upper right-hand corner. You'll see the search symbol there. So make sure you go through that, and you can see the timeline of 6,000 years until the end of the sixth millennium, when I believe that Christ will return. And that's coming up about 2055. That's all I'm going to say. It's about 2055. I don't know the day or the hour. I'm not even sure it's the exact year, because the Roman calendar that we're using now does not, you know, correspond to the, to God's calendar that, that he kept before and gave Israel in the wilderness. So, God's years begin in the spring, you know, with the month that Passover is in. And then, of course, the papacy changed that calendar so that it would begin in January instead of the spring. And that's just a fact of history. And that's in my posting on What Year Is It Too. That information you'll find in there, briefly. So, take a look at that. But yeah, it's a literal. Now, the papacy says that it isn't. The Antichrist says that it is not a literal 1,000 years. He says it's already here and that Christ is not going to return. They call that the millenarian heresy. So according to the Antichrist or the papacy, the Vatican, if you believe in a physical return of Christ to rule and reign for 1,000 years, then you are a millenarian heretic. That's their language, not mine. Look it up yourself. Just put millenarian heretic or millenarian heresy in your Google search engine or whatever search engine you want, and you'll find that that is absolutely, you know, Catholic Church doctrine. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Bill from Mentor.
Okay, Bill, what do you got for us?
I'm just interested in the millennium and the historic part for Reformation, Reformed theology, that they considered amillennialist or postmillennialist. They don't believe in that literal part and that there's once and only when Christ returns, that's the end of salvation. So...
Who are you saying believes that?
What's that?
Who are you saying believes that?
Reformed theologians, which you'd call Puritans or Reformed.
Reformed theologians, huh? Yeah, well, most of the Reformed theologians don't even recognize the papacy as the Antichrist anymore.
Oh, well, yes, they do.
Well, a lot of them don't, and a lot of them believe that in the end-time Antichrist. So, you know, what can I say? I know historically they believed in the return of Christ. Our famous historicist authors like H. Grattan Guinness and E.B. Eliot believed in a physical, bodily return of Christ And I believe it's plain in the scripture from Daniel chapter 2 and the book of Revelation. It's hard to get around and not believe in the literal and physical return of Christ. And he did say he was coming back. So, you know, it's kind of hard to go against God's own word. And but the Antichrist doesn't believe in it, because the Antichrist believes that he is the bodily and physical Christ on earth and will be, and that the millennium is only symbolic for a period of time that's not maybe a millennium and maybe not.
Now, if there's salvation after Christ returns, how do you not confuse it with, say, after the rapture? Like pre-rapture, after rapture, like the people who, so Christ has returned, people get saved, and all that's bogus. How does one not confuse the one with the other?
I'm not sure I really understand the question.
Well, the pre-trib rapture will not happen.
Well, the whole rapture theology is based upon a seven-year juxtaposition of Daniel's 70th week. And so there's no seven-year tribulation in the scripture anywhere. So it's all, you know, the whole rapture thing. I don't believe in any of the raptures. I do know that Christ will return. There will be a resurrection, but the scripture doesn't call it a rapture. So I call it they call it. It's called the resurrection. And the resurrection has always been the blessed hope of Israel and the church. Never was it the rapture until just recently.
I get that, but after the return of Christ.
Okay.
Rather the gathering of the saints. Now one has it wrong, the pre-trib rapture, but the other one has it right. It's after Christ returns, there'll be salvation. How does one not get confused with the other as far as their salvation after Christ returns?
Well, you know,
pre-trib rapture, or
if Christ returns, you know, and we are caught up to meet him if we're alive and remain, or if I die before he returns and I'm resurrected, it says that both groups are caught up together and we meet him in the air, and we return, you know, we come with him in the clouds, as it says in the scripture. Okay? So everyone, whoever was saved and will be saved up to that point, will be changed or resurrected. And they will be with Christ. Okay? Now, after that, during the millennium, if that's what you're talking about, after the return of Christ, if people are saved, well, they miss that event. They go to the second resurrection. The scripture says, blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection. And that would be us, because we get to live that, be kings and priests and rule and reign with him for that millennial reign of Christ. I hope that answers your question. I'm not sure I really understand. Well, and we're going into a break right now. If you want to hang on or call back in.
Yeah, I'll hang on, but the thousand after, who gets saved and how?
Okay, well, I can answer that. You don't have to hang on.
Okay.
It's up to you. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border. Okay, he did hang up.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the Scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a Third Temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more, using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled, When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. Thank you all for showing up and the calls we had. I guess this is, I'm going to have to call this part four of the Alien Invasion series. This is the question and answer session. But I love the questions. I want to thank the callers for calling in and left off with a question about what about people, mortals being saved in the millennium? And yes, the millennium is a continuation, kind of the same era that we're living in now, but it is an era of rest. Remember, Jesus was tempted by Satan. Then he showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and he said, they are mine. And we have seen that demonstrated throughout history, that Satan takes over all the kingdoms of men because he is loose in the world. I mean, even, you know, God even formed a nation, Israel, in the wilderness and set them apart. And even they rebelled so that only a remnant was actually his elect, was only a remnant in the nation called by his name. They rebelled against him as their king and they said, we want a king like the other nations. They gave in to Satan, who, has ownership over all the kingdoms of the world because he corrupts them all. Well, during this era, during this millennium to come, the part of the rest of this Sabbath millennium is that Satan will be bound for the most part of the 1,000 years. It says that he will be loosed at the end to sort out the people on the earth for the last and final second resurrection and the final judgment of everyone who ever lived that didn't make the first resurrection, okay? Which should be us if we're the true believers, followers, the remnant, the elect in Christ will be part of that first resurrection. And we will be ruling and reigning over the earth as mortals continue to be born in this Sabbath era without Satan to tempt them. But they will still have their fallen nature from Adam, inherited from Adam. And see, that's the real problem, okay? Because a lot of people could say, well, if Satan wasn't loose in the world, all these people wouldn't have fallen to sin. Well, so we need another demonstration, and we're going to have a 1,000-year demonstration without Satan to tempt them, that they still will not choose righteousness. And what will us immortals who make the first resurrection, ruling and reigning in Christ, be doing? Well, we will be governing the world, just as it said. We will be his kings and priests, which meaning rulers and governors in the world. We will be pastors, and we will have all of the administration of the government of Jesus Christ over the whole earth during that millennial reign, physically, bodily, millennial reign of Christ. Now, the historicist method of interpreting the scripture makes it clear to me what is symbolic and what is not. And I believe, as H. Grattan Guinness believes, as E.B. Eliot, as many other of the reformers believed, that the millennial reign was not symbolic, but that it was literal. Perhaps Nicholas will clarify a question. I accidentally muted part of it. Oh, yeah, the word rapture. Okay, let's see. I think Bill believes in a rapture before the resurrection, asking why some are raptured and then others are caught. Ah, is that, because I was trying to get it. Now, I have a book. My first book I wrote in 2014, it's called The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Because the rapture is an invention of the Antichrist. And it was built upon a foundation laid by the Jesuit Ribera about four or five hundred years ago, a counter-reformation eschatological invention created for the purpose of vindicating the papacy. And his invention was that of a end-time antichrist. In other words, what Ribera was saying is the papacy is not the antichrist, but because the antichrist is going to appear during the very last time before Christ returns for the millennial reign. And see, this is the funny thing, is they don't even believe. They believe that if you believe in a literal physical return of Christ and millennial reign, that you're a millenarian heretic. So there's a key right there that this Jesuit Ribera, he didn't develop this eschatological scheme because he believed it, or for Catholic Church, because it was against what the Catholics believe. Okay? But he created it for Protestants to overthrow and combat the historicist position that identified the Catholic Church as the great apostasy and the papacy as the seed of Antichrist. Let me take this call here. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got back on. Still from Menor. That's not it. It's not the rapture. I'm just saying, just answer the question. 1,000 years after the resurrection, after the catching up.
Okay, after...
It won't be by faith, because Christ will be here. So it'll have to be some other way. So go to the answer. Don't speculate elsewhere, please.
Ah. Okay. I think I got it. Thank you.
I'll stay on.
Okay, you'll stay on. Okay. You're saying they won't be saved by faith?
Well, they can't. Thomas, you believe because you saw, blessed are who have not seen yet believe. So
okay.
That won't be the case. There'll have to be some other way.
Okay, well, let's go back to the beginning. Adam and Eve were created by God. They saw God, but after a few generations, people forgot what the truth was, that God created everything, right? And the whole world fell away, and things became so bad that God destroyed everything with a flood. Okay? When Jesus is ruling and reigning from Jerusalem, and his immortals are ruling and reigning, that's now going to be the norm. After a while, people are going to forget, or they're not going to believe even what they see or what is true around them. Okay? So they're not going to have faith even in what they see. And they still have to believe in the resurrection because they'll know they're going to die. They still have to wait until they die to be resurrected. So people are going to lose faith in the same way that they lost faith in the past. It's demonstrated by from the creation account. It's demonstrated from the flood and Noah and his family who came out of the flood. Everyone should have known. And then God created the nation Israel, led them through the Red Sea miraculously, but they all forgot and apostatized. Nothing's going to change. People are going to forget and apostatize, even if there are Jesus is reigning from Jerusalem and his immortals, they're going to become like, who are these immortals, you know? They're not going to believe. They're going to lose
faith. There will be a rebellion of Korah, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there will be a rebellion. But there will be no rebellion because there won't be an organizing force like Satan in the world until Satan is loose for a season to gather those together that are rebellious in spirit.
Okay, so if they die in that time, but what is it, are they saved?
Oh, they're saved by faith, just like us.
So there's no difference whether Christ is present or absent?
Nope, no difference. You still have to believe by faith that you're going to be resurrected because people are going to be dying. You're not going to be immediately resurrected.
So just so I clear, it's sort of like they take God for granted like they did in the Old Testament.
People yes.
They kind of do their own
thing. It all becomes for granted. People start to question things, come up with other ideas. You know, other planet and saying we're aliens from another world. Who knows what they're going to think or say?
And those people who are dead, who don't believe are in the same predicament as now, but after Christ returns, where will they be until the second resurrection?
Well, they'll be in the grave like all of the people who died before us.
So it'll be a second resurrection of those who believe as well as those who are dead.
Yes, everyone will be resurrected who did not make the first resurrection in the second resurrection.
So this Bema state, which is, I believe is the second resurrection, correct me if I'm wrong, there'll be those who won't be going into perdition. There'll be those who are saved like the first 6,000 years.
Yes, but they'll go on to the new heaven and new earth with all of the rest who made the first resurrection. Yes.
And after the 1,000 years, the earth will be destroyed and we'll be in a place called heaven. But
no, there'll be a new heaven and new earth. That's what the scripture says.
You'll recreate what is here or just a little bit differently? Or
well, it just says, no, you're not going to recreate what's here. It's going to be a new heaven and new earth. It's not going to be the same. All this is going to be passed away. So we just, you know, we have faith that, you know.
Where will we be? The heavens melt and burn up and he recreates this. Where will be so we don't melt along with it?
Oh, well, I'm guessing that we'll be just, you know, transported to the new heaven and new earth.
Okay. So then we can then move out into this new heaven and earth after this occurred.
Well, I don't have all the particulars of, I mean, it could just happen that fast, just like that we're here and then we're there in the new heaven and new earth. It says the former things will pass away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I believe that by faith. It's going to take faith on the part of even those who are born, live and die during the millennial reign of Christ. They're going to have to believe that just like we believe in the resurrection now and all of the same promises that they're going to believe in afterwards. See, we have faith in that too. That all of the promises of God are yes and amen. I believe it.
Thanks for going over that. That helps.
Okay, Bill. Appreciate the call. Thank you. And there you go. Anyone else wants to call in like Bill did or Fireman Mike, you're welcome too. The number is in the chat room in here. I'm going to give it out once, so over the air here, so you can hear it if you're just listening. It's 559-797-8537. 559-797-8537. Okay. Let's see. I got any more questions in the chat room here? God's elect are aliens to this world. Yes. And that's why I call it the alien invasion series here. And plus, I guess maybe it piques a little more people's interest. I hope that they'll come over and listen because, you know, this is our hope. This is it. See, our hope is a resurrection. Without the resurrection, if Christ be not resurrected, then we are without hope in the world, even as others that have no hope at all. So eat, drink, and be merry, you know. I mean, that's people die or they don't come to Christ because they don't have faith. They don't believe it for whatever reason. And people living during the millennial reign of Christ, there will be people that don't believe it. You know, they're going to see the world around and it's all going to seem very normal to them, just as everything seems very normal to us right now. People are going to be born. People who live through the second coming of Christ, they're going to know like Noah knew. They're going to know like Adam and Eve knew. They're going to know like the children of Israel going through the wilderness to looking for the promised land knew. They're going to know that it was real, but people are going to forget. And then the generations that are born on down the line, you know, many people will forget, or they'll just go, well, we don't know who these guys are with all these power. They'll become disgruntled, jealous, whatever, and say, well, you know, why ain't I there? Or whatever, because that's going to be the condition when Satan is loose for a little season at the end, that he's going to gather all those disgruntled, all those unbelievers, all those without faith together. And they're going to think, well, yeah, we can take over, you know, Jesus and his people that are ruling the world. Look at them. They have no weapons or army or anything. And they're going to gather together. But, well, the scripture says that it's going to be a pretty quick battle because the fire is going to come down out of heaven and destroy them. And, yeah, we'll see how that works out. That may be the same fire that melts the old heaven and new earth to replace it with a new one. It could all happen that fast. How much time does God need to accomplish anything? He can accomplish it, you know, things just like that. Okay. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, the 12th, all believe by faith. That's right. Anyway. And Wacky says, good questions, caller. Yes, thank you, Bill, for that. I'm glad I was able to clarify anything. And, you know, I just praise God that I'm able to sit here behind this mic and be the voice of prophecy or reality. It's not very popular, believe me, if I could come up with, you know, Bible code breaker and make stuff up or believe in the rapture that you could all escape, you know, I could probably be a lot more popular because I see all these popular people out there. And, you know, every week there's more people, you know, so there's some that are saying that the rapture is going to happen. who is it in the Naughty Pines in the chat room turned me on to some guy who's doing Jubilee code calculations, and he believes that the rapture is going to happen, you know, I think next month or this next feast day with this, you know, people mixing in all this Hebrew root stuff into it, you know. I mean, I'm glad if there are, you know, Jews out there that come to Christ, hallelujah, you know, praise God. And, you know, I might have Hebrew roots and don't know it, but I'm not going to pretend that I do, and as if by, you know, flesh and blood connection through DNA, I could be saved. Because Jesus says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So a Hebrew nationality and Hebrew roots ain't going to do you any good. If you're counting on that, then we'll just call that a mark of the beast, because you're counting on something other than the blood of Christ, which has grafted you in. And it doesn't matter whether you're grafted in or not. You know? It doesn't matter whether you're grafted in or not. It just matters that you're... See, because if you're a Jew, you have to be grafted back in. Yeah, they were cut off, remember? You know, I mean, except for some that were never cut off, like Jesus, you know, had his disciples there, and then he had 70 disciples, and then there were thousands that came to the Lord in that day, so they never got cut off. They were always part of the root of that tree. And then others were grafted in from other nations, and even people were grafted in before that. You know, go back to the book of Ruth, and you'll find her daughter-in-law was grafted in to the nation of Israel. She said, your God will be my God, and your people will be my people. And she became Israel. She became part of Israel. And she was grafted in, even made it into the lineage of Christ. It's no wonder that Jesus took a couple days when he was going through Samaria, and he's talking to the woman at the well, and she says, he told me everything. They came to see Jesus, and he stayed there with them for a couple days, and he preached the gospel to them. Even though he was walking around, what was he saying? I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But they wanted to be grafted in. You know, they wanted the resurrection. They wanted the gospel. So he spent a couple days there talking to them. And the same way they were grafted in, the same way in the book of Ruth, you could be grafted in. And throughout the whole Testament, people were grafted into Israel because they wanted the God of Israel. And they are the elect from all nations. Israel's true job was to preach the gospel, the resurrection of Christ. You know, they were waiting for the Messiah, the seed of the woman. Hey, that was the whole purpose. I mean, when Paul, there was a great controversy, and they brought Paul into before the rulers of Israel, and there were the Sadducees on one side and the Pharisees on the other, and the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees did. And he says, I'm here because of the belief in the resurrection. So he divided them. And then when the Sadducees came to Jesus and tried to question about the resurrection, he says, you don't understand the scripture. And he straightened them out, or at least tried to straighten them out, and hopefully they heard and believed in the resurrection, because if we don't have a resurrection, then we are without faith in the world like others. We have no hope at all. We just die and we're gone. That's no fun. That's why they were the Sadducees. That's why they were sad, you see. That's the joke. So anyway, questions, comments, in the chat room or by phone, you can call in. I would like that. Okay. I got a few news items. I think it was, my first caller who, Fireman Mike brought up the guy that, shot off his rocket. Well, he didn't shoot off his rocket. He found an excuse not to send himself off in a rocket. So maybe he was thinking, oh, well, maybe something could go wrong. Actually, the guy, I was checking into it, and the guy actually shot himself off in a rocket some years before, and he ended up using a walker for several months after that one. And it's really kind of stupid. He's going to fly a mile in a homemade rocket. And I was watching, anyway, he had one of those GoPro cameras on his first launch, and you could see it was aimed at the back, and you could see that the debris coming off his rocket just shot his parachutes full of holes. And I was like, the guy was lucky he had any parachute left. Otherwise, he would have been dead. No wonder he was injured walking around with a walker for a couple months. So he probably thought better of it. Ruth was of Israel, but her daughter-in-law was a Moabite. And the Moabites were the sons of, were the children of Lot. And there you go. So the Moabites were not of the children of Israel. They were not of Israel. They were of Lot. Okay? And Ruth, Now, Ruth left Israel because of a famine. Her husband and all of her sons died while she was in Moab. And so she loosed all of her daughters, but Naomi stuck with her and said, I want to go back because of her faith. And that's the, yeah. I love that. I love the book of Ruth, the whole story there. It really moves me. Anyway, I've got a whole teaching on that. You can look up the book of Ruth on my website. Okay. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is our Prophecy Reality Edition. I'd like you to go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure that you subscribe there and take advantage of all of the resources there and share those things. I've written a couple books for myself trying to combat the false prophecy is out there. The latest one I wrote to try to help futurists who are caught up in that error, in that Antichrist Counter-Reformation lie, the rapture cult, as they're called, when the third temple is built, what you can expect. When the third temple is built, the rapture play will begin. So what's going to happen when they start to build the third temple and nobody's raptured? How's that going to turn out for you? And so I'll give you a clue there and give you a lot of material there. In my first book from 2014 was the rapture will be canceled. As a matter of fact, all three of the raptures are going to be canceled. Yes, it's not a post-trib. I say that when, you know, 20 years ago or more than 20 years ago, when I discovered that there was no pre-tribulation rapture, I became a post-tribulation rapture guy. But the more I researched into it, and especially like about 2005, I decided, well, I got to buckle down and I got to figure this prophecy thing out, because I can't, you know, if God wrote it for us to figure out. And so I had a good foundation in God's word first. And I think that's where a lot of these prophecy pundits go wrong. They just interested in prophecy, so they become prophecy pundits, but they don't have a circumspect view of God's word, and that really skews. And if you don't have a circumspect view of God's word, and you don't know church history, history is very important to God. That's why he starts his Bible out, and a majority or a major part of the Bible is history. So the history of God's people and the church is very important. And that's why I am a historicist, because that is the method of interpretation that the Bible teaches us. Okay, that's it for this segment. We'll be back in a few. The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce, in the minds of all, this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the 7-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of Daniel's 70 weeks, the abomination of desolation, the restrainer, America in the revelation, the image of the beast, and the mark of the beast, and the truth about God's chosen people, and so much more about Bible prophecy. This book will shatter the left-behind paradigm of future events. Get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.